There are four core beliefs that we as Assembly of God adhere to. Those four core beliefs are salvation, baptism of the Holy Spirit, the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and divine healing. And I am so thrilled that divine healing is a part of not only what we believe and what we've decided as a denomination to adopt and to adhere to, but it's in God's Word. These testimonies are fabulous, but they don't have to be their testimony. It could be our testimony. And today, as we look at divine healing, I want us to realize there's a couple of things that we need to be assured of. You see, there's two things that happened on the cross. When Jesus died, he died so that we could live. So literally, spiritually, our sins could be forgiven, and we would become alive spiritually, alive in Christ. It happened to many of you. You were walking in sin. You met Jesus. Everything changed when you gave your heart to him. And something in you just became alive that was dead. There was something that you really found for the very first time. Some of you, you grew up in all of that. You heard about it, but then it became real. Some of us didn't know anything about it, and we encountered it. But the same thing happened. We both became alive. But there's another thing that happened on the cross. Jesus died so that our bodies could be healed. And if you are here today and you need to be convinced of that, then I don't know that I have the ability to do that. I don't know if I can convince you. Because this isn't about convincing. This isn't about trying to get you to believe like I believe. This isn't about convincing you to say the things that I say. But it's about believing in your heart that Jesus did something so fabulous for you and I that we at the end of a prayer could receive healing into our lives through what he did on the cross. It's associated with one word called the atonement. That's a word I don't use every day, but it means this. That Jesus Christ died on the cross. God gave his only son to die on the cross so that my sins could be forgiven, but also that my body could be healed. It's right here a part of this book, and that's why we adhere to it today. There's one thing that you and I realize and something that we have lived through, and that is that nobody goes through life with perfect health. Now, we've talked about grandparents. They weren't sick a day in their life. Well, we understand what that means. Maybe they never had to go to the hospital. Maybe they never had to take on high blood pressure medication. Maybe there was a point in their life where you think, wow, you know, this is obvious. They've never had to have a surgery or anything like that. But whether it's a common cold or the flu, whether it's an injury, whether it's an accident, whether it's a disease, God has provided for us through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, not only for our sins to be forgiven, but also for our bodies to be healed. This isn't something we came up with. This is God's idea. It comes right out of this book. And there's a lot of people, and when I say people, they're literally people, denominations, that really don't adhere to the fact that Jesus Christ literally heals again today. They think that it's something that happened in the past, and it's not for today. Can I just tell you, it is for today. It is for what we do right now. As believers, there are three things that we need to do. We need to embrace the fact that God heals, we need to teach it, and we need to practice it. It needs to become a part of our life and not just a part of somebody else's life. These are awesome testimonies. But there's somebody else's testimony. God wants it to be your testimony. Whether it's a small thing or a big thing. I can't imagine what it is to take a four-year-old through a year and a half of chemo treatments. That is unbelievable. I just can't imagine as a parent doing that. It's amazing. We always rescue the moment by saying, you know, children are so resilient. Really? I don't know if that's exactly the way they looked at that. Or having somebody instantly be paralyzed from the neck down, three vertebrae that are broken. Everybody expecting that this guy, and he, well, thought probably he's going to die. Those kind of accidents. And then, did you see the look on that the grandpa's face? When the technical term autism was there, but then God did something very, very valuable. That's why we need to embrace this. We need to teach it so that it's not something that's just a mention on one of the Sundays that we take care of the four core beliefs of the Assemblies of God, but it's something that we believe for every day, for every little circumstance. It should be the cry of your children's heart. I can remember years ago, I was just sicker than a dog. Those phrases, really don't know what that means. I mean, I've never really seen a dog and really wanted to compare, but that's that phrase we come up with. I was sicker than a dog. You know, I don't know. I just know that I was sick. I was in bed. I was burning up and shaking. You know that fever thing, but you feel like you're just freezing to death because of the way your body is? And I told Debbie, I said, go get the kids. And my kids are real little. And they came in. And they knew that when we get sick, we're supposed to pray. And I don't know if I did it for comfort's sake or whether it was just to add a little fuel to the fire when it came to that, but just hearing my kids pray for me, it's made all the difference in the world. I don't want our kids growing up not knowing that God heals, and that God is there for every circumstance in our life. I want us to be able to call on them at a whim and have them pray for us. Hey, listen, I appreciate all you grandma and grandpas. And by the way, thank you for being here today, because I don't know where everybody else is. Dear God, it must be prayer time in this section right here. I don't know what's spreading through that or whatever. I know where about four or five of our families are, but the rest of them, give them a call and say, get to church for crying out loud. I don't want it to be that we call on grandma and grandpa because they know how to pray. No, we need to embrace it. We need to teach it, and we need to practice it and let it be a part of our life. How sad it is to go through life thinking that Jesus Christ, the only real value of that is that one day I'm going to wake up in heaven. Listen, I know this is a terrible illustration because there's really no comparisons, but think about whatever a great musical artist is, whether it's somebody that composed a great piece of music, or whether somebody in the past sang a wonderful song, or somebody with an instrument can just do something incredible with a trumpet or a saxophone or whatever, anything, a piano, but they did that once, but we never hear that piece again. We never hear that song again. We've said, no, that was for back then and that only. It was only when Jesus walked the earth that these things happened. No, Jesus is still walking the earth. So let's embrace this and understand that he is here for us. This is something that we glean out of the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Let me take you back to Isaiah 53. We think about this in context of Christmas, but the Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions. Our transgressions, our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. There again, the inconsistencies in our life. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Every time we're going to fix and go into Easter, and you're going to see and you're going to hear, and many of you will watch those movies, and Jesus is going to be flogged. That's a great way of saying being beaten with a whip. And those stripes that they put on his back, every one of them represent the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was also predicted and prophesied by this prophet. But then in the New Testament, Luke, the 4th chapter, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus talking to his disciples in the crowd, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Jesus said this in the context of the temple setting. He had walked in. He had just been tempted by Satan. Remember, he came down off the mountain. The Bible says he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. He walks into the temple. They gave him the scroll. It was ceremonial for somebody to read the scroll. They thought of him as a rabbi and a teacher, so he was worthy to do that. He read this. This is the mirror image of Isaiah 61, and he began to read these. He's talking about himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. Jesus Christ is here to make a difference in our life. I don't care if you got a paper cut or you have a serious disease. God wants to touch it today. Don't minimize it and don't ignore it. God wants to do something powerful in your life today. He did it in the Old Testament, and he's doing it in the New Testament, and he's doing it in current days. Listen, we tend to minimize the ministry of Jesus by his teachings. They're fabulous teachings, the example that he had, the parables he's told. But much of his ministry was connected with miracles of healing. There's probably a lot of reasons. One of those is probably because he wanted to demonstrate to the crowd who he was. That's how he exposed himself as the Messiah. How can you follow him as the Messiah if he doesn't do miraculous things? There were a lot of people that were calling themselves the Christ and the Messiah. They were rallying a lot of people around them. Many of them were opposing the Roman rule. But none of them were doing miracles. None of them were walking on water. None of them were giving sight to the blind. None of them had the power of our Jesus. Let me read to you out of Luke, the 7th chapter, verse 21 and 23. That very hour he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits. And to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things that you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Now, I realize I'm preaching to the choir. That's kind of one of those phrases like, I'm sicker than a dog. I guess that just means that I'm preaching to people that probably already believe the way I believe. Why are you yelling at me? Why are you telling me this stuff? Well, it's not because you didn't know it, but it's because we need to remind ourselves that we should act on it every day. It should be a part of our everyday life and not just every now and then we pull it off the shelf and exercise it. You know what was happening in the context of this verse of Scripture? John is in prison. John the Baptist. He's in prison. And he sends these disciples of his to Jesus and he says, ask him, are you the one that is to come or do we look for another? Now, not for a second do I believe that John the Baptist, who was sent before him, who was related distantly to Jesus, who was baptized in the Jordan and baptized Jesus in the Holy Spirit, baptized him in water, the same day that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, fell upon him. I don't believe for one second that John was doubting himself. I believe that John wanted his disciples to go and see for themselves the miraculous things that Jesus was doing. I'm going to tell you what, if you've ever seen a miracle, you will never forget it. If you've ever been healed, you will never forget it. This is a cool story about this young man. We've heard things like that. There was a tumor one day, and then it's gone the next. The x-rays from Springfield don't match with the ones from where he was flown to be treated. Those are awesome miracles. But sometimes God does miracles that don't make the front page. Sometimes they're not that big, but they're big. They're huge to you. And that's the importance there. He said, I want you to guys and go and see for yourself. And this is what they said. He said, wow. He says, go and tell John these things that you have seen and these things that you have heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. I'm going to tell you what, guys. If we saw someone here today blind, they received their sight, I'm going to tell you what, we would just come unglued. We would come unglued. But the sad part about that is that many of us, unfortunately, even though we admire and we admonish ourselves to understand that Jesus will, we don't expect that to happen. This is not a guilt trip comment. It's just that we need to give that possibility and that latitude for Jesus Christ. We need to give him every inch that he wants, every foot that he'll take, every mile that is given for him to do whatever he wants to in our life, in our finances, in our bodies, in our lives, in our relationships, and especially in our bodies. And listen, Jesus didn't die just so that we could feel better, we could get over the cold, we can kill the flu, we can heal bones. He died for the things that can't be diagnosed with an x-ray. I'm talking about the things that you've been wounded in your heart, the times that you have been just so devastated, the stress you're feeling, the anxiety, the worry that you battle with. He says, listen, let me be the Savior in that thing too. Let me take you to Psalms 147th chapter, verse 3. It says, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. There are some things that some of you need prayer for today that will not ever be reflected on a medical report. Then there's just something that's hurting here, and you just don't know what to do about it. And listen, I am not saying anything that is adverse to the medical profession. There was a lady for 12 years, she went and sought medical help before she met Jesus. But this is what she thought on that day. She said, if I could just get close enough to touch his clothing, I'm not even going to impede his efforts at what he's doing. I'm not going to make him stop what he's doing. If I could just get that close. That's what God wants to do with us today. He just wants to get close enough for you to sense the power that he has to bless you and touch you. James, the 5th chapter, says this. Is any of you suffering? Let him pray. Is any of you cheerful? Let him sing songs. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. In just a few moments, I'm going to ask everyone that would like to have prayer, that you need prayer, you desire prayer, to come to the front of this church. I've asked some people to come in just a few seconds, and they're going to stand here, and we're going to take the anointing oil. This is just simple olive oil. That's all it is. It is just packaged to be here so that we could use it for anointing today. We do this because the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Listen, this isn't us, and this isn't church gymnastics. It's us exercising our faith in the reality that we serve a God that divinely heals. We believe and we trust and we thank God for medical assistance. We thank God for doctors. We have doctors and nurses in this church. We're not adverse to any of all of that. I'll be seeing a doctor Tuesday for an MRI and the follow-up on that thing on Thursday. So you know what? I'm not preaching heresy here. I'm just telling you, we need to ask the Lord to come and touch us and bless us. And this anointing oil is just oil. The Holy Spirit is who does the healing through the power of what was accomplished on the cross. And that's what this is all about today. Doug Clay is a gentleman that was a part of this video series. If you look a little bit further into some of the things that he has, he tells a story about his wife. His wife was beginning to have these symptoms, and she was having all of these, she's passing out, and she began weaker and weaker and weaker, and this just kind of dragged on. It was a slow, gradual thing. And he said, I finally went to my wife and I asked her, I said, what do you want us to do? I said, do you want to get serious medically or spiritually? She said, both. He said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to follow through with what the doctors say. So, but I'm going to call the elders, and every hour on the hour, I'm asking somebody from the church during the day to come over here, and they're going to anoint you with oil, and we're going to pray. So 8 times a day, someone would come to her door, knock on the door, would come in, would pray over her with the oil. This went on for about a week, followed up with the medical doctors, and before she could even have her next doctor visit, she started feeling better and better and better. And there, listen, there was nothing to pinpoint. There was no secret medication. There wasn't even a diagnosis that they could really, pinpoint what was going on with her. But the answer to that prayer was affirmatively received. And she got better and better and better. And he said, you know what? That was years and years ago. And she's never had passed out since. Never had another one of those symptoms. I'm not trying to convince you of something that you need to believe. I'm just telling you today, this isn't about an encounter of going, you believe or you don't believe. This is about let God do what he can do. Let's just can we give him that much rain today? Can we just give him that much latitude? And listen, some of you need to come up because there's somebody else that you know that needs prayer. You know, would you allow us to anoint you for that person? And we're not here to interrogate you or to interview you. We're just here to pray for you today. And that's what we want to do. I know the music team is coming back. I'm going to ask some of those that you would come and just position yourself up here and just take the oil. I'm going to pray a prayer over our congregation. And if you need prayer today, will you please just come down and let someone anoint you with the oil today? They're going to be just standing down here in the front along with me. And we're just going to take that oil and we're just going to just softly put it maybe on your forehead or maybe on your hand. And then we're just going to ask the Lord to just bless you and touch you today. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, in just a moment, I pray that this altar will be full of people just asking and needing prayer. I pray, God, that you will do what you and alone can do, and that is to touch us, to minister to us today. I pray, God, that you will bless us, that we will feel and we will know that the Holy Spirit has come here today. God has an agenda that we're not just covering and checking off our list of preaching another doctrine of the church, but that today, Lord God, we're acting out on our faith. We're asking you to touch us, to minister to us, and to heal our bodies. We need the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to touch us and to minister to us through healing that only he can provide. We ask you to do that in the name of Jesus. Amen. You come down right now. We're going to start anointing you. We're going to start praying. If you are not in the altar, please make sure to identify yourself so that we can pray for you. But if you're not here, please be praying for somebody. Please let this be a time where you're going to exercise your faith along with them. That you're going to just look toward this altar and you're going to begin praying in support of somebody that is up here today. That you're going to ask the Lord to just bless them and touch them and minister to them. That God somehow is going to do something that we can't do and that only he can do. We're not here playing God. We're just here praying with God. We're not here to try and do anything other than be consistent with what the Lord says through his holy word. To receive healing that only God can give. Only Jesus can forgive us of our sins. Only Jesus, through the sacrifice of the cross, can heal our bodies. So with your permission, oh God, we ask, Lord, minister powerfully, Lord Jesus. And if any of you want to come and pray with somebody, just come right on up right now. We invite you. We ask you to come and just minister to whoever is up here and just bless them and touch them. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, do that for us.